This is the Neverwinter Nights podcast for the week of February 9th, 2007. This is episode 13.
Welcome to the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series. Hello, I'm your host, Trey, a.k.a. Ashercon Zelo, and with me tonight, I have Jay, a.k.a. Novinka Naroda.
A.k.a.? Hey, man, how's everything going?
Did I really say a.k.a.?
Yes, you did.
Oh my gosh, okay, this is going to be one of those nights, I can tell.
I guess so.
So some of the things we're going to talk about this week, there's also news about patch 105.
We just got patch 104.
I know. But there's some really cool news about 105 now.
Okay, cool. That was fast.
We're going to talk about some week in review for Neverwinter Nights. And we're going to also talk about the Obsidian Entertainment Incorporated chat that was held on February 5th over at the Thieves Guild. And we'll also get into some feedback and some other stuff. Before we get into all of that, Jay, anything interesting or cool happened to you in the past week?
Well, I didn't play much. I didn't play much this weekend or this week or this weekend at all. We've had pink eye going through the house. I guess the sickness is just not going to go away from us yet. I
like, is that a new pet? Here.
Pink eye? I wish.
Oh. No. Oh, yeah, pink eye.
That's yeah, my disease. Youngest daughter got the pink eye. So.
Good grief. I didn't even know that. You never told me that.
Well, just yesterday that she got
it. Oh, really? Wow. That stuff's highly contagious.
Yes, it is. So we're trying to combat.
And when you get
that.
It one eye, it moves into the other eye.
It can do that. So we've been putting the medication, everybody. We've got one that instantly kills the virus. So the moment you put the medicine in your eye, you are no longer contagious. So that's good.
Did it scream?
I don't know. I don't know if I can hear that low of volume. But no, I spent some time Monday, this on the 5th, in the a little bit of time at the end of the chat that Thieves Guild had, and that was a lot of fun. And then we recorded an interview with Liso66 from the Thieves Guild, who was the organizer of that chat, which will be one of our feature items this week.
Yep, we'll play that in right in here somewhere.
Other than that, I haven't had much time to game. I did schedule, you know, I promised everybody I was going to, my New Year's resolution was to game more. Well, I'm taking a week off this month, and I'm going to sit at home and do a few light chores and game. So.
Wow. I guess I played some Neverwinter Nights, too, since the last time we talked, because something happened pretty cool in Neverwinter Nights, too, that I really liked.
Okay, what was that?
I went into the graveyard, you know?
Right.
And...
Which graveyard? Just a high cliff?
Well, just... I don't know. I don't remember. It was just the first graveyard I came across. I think somewhere near... After I went through the swamps.
Okay.
And I had a party with me. You know, I had the dwarf with me and...
Nishka.
And I had Nishka with me. And we went into the graveyard and... It was, like, really dark and I couldn't see. And... I ended up dying and... Nishki ended up dying, but the dwarf fought on and cleared out the area for me. Actually, I switched to him and I fought and I cleared the area as him. And
right.
the cool thing that I liked, which was not in Neverwinter Nights 1, was after I cleared the area with the dwarf, Nishki and I then came back alive.
Yep, I've noticed that too. That's a pretty cool thing.
You know. So I never did like the fact that, you know, if one of your companions died, you had to go back all the way to the temple and get them. I know you had a stone that took you back quickly, but still. And then you had to pay gold to get them back, to come back. I always thought that was kind of a pain. So
I'm not sure on this fact, but I think that is, and I hope to get some feedback if this is inaccurate, that is more true to the pen and paper D&D play.
Oh, really? Cool.
So, it seems like I remember reading some posts about that. And I think it's pretty nice, too, because yeah, you spend a lot of time developing these companions and leveling them with you while you're playing. And to have them die and then not get them back, yeah, it just makes more sense for them to come back the way that the gameplay is set up for Neverwinter Nights 2.
So that's one thing that I found I really liked so far in playing Neverwinter Nights 2. And I must say the cameras have improved since patch 103.
I think I like some of the stuff in patch 104 that's really helped out too. And the issue, I think I've tried to play a couple of times, and some of the areas that I want to go play, or the worlds I want to go play, or the mods, I haven't upgraded everything to patch 104 yet, so I can't connect to their server because it gives you the error that they're still on 103 and you've got a version incompatibility. So hopefully in the next week or so, some more of these servers and persistent world servers will get patched up to patch 104, and I'll be able to get in and take those bunny rabbits back to their pen.
Jay and his wabbits.
I'm not giving up on the rabbits. I'm going to finish that area.
Okay, we'll do listener feedback. We had we got quite a few comments from episode 12. I was going to jump over and kind of look through those. And
now, those happened very quickly after the release of it. Actually, kind of humorous story. I was on the Thieves Guild chat channel as I finished production of episode 12.
Oh, yeah?
So as soon as it went up, I shot them out a message saying it was up, and about five people went off and started. I mean, they almost killed the conversation on the channel. They all went to listening to it right away. Because you notice that Halloween Foxy sent us some feedback, and it's at 3:05 a.m.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think those times are exactly correct, though.
Well, they're accurate to the time on the server, so I don't know what time she actually did it on hers.
She said, looky, there's a new podcast. Nice work again. And then she shifts eyes about. Obviously, she was in chat mode.
Yep.
And then she says, giddy my frapper, mapper, crapper, shout, but not the place where I'm from. Tis, tis, tis.
So evidently we mentioned her name in the frapper shout-outs, but didn't mention where she was located.
Oh, really?
That's what I gathered out of that. That we got her frapper shout-out, but we didn't say where she was from. So.
Oh, I wouldn't have done that.
Okay, argue with her. I'm not taking it. I just think that's what she's saying. So if we did.
Maybe I will.
Oops. So.
Yeah, oops if we did, but.
Liso66 sent us some feedback. Said, once again, a great show. I enjoyed it as always. See you Monday night for sure. And that was you referring to the chat that was on Monday night. That was a lot of fun and exciting for them.
Yeah, and then she actually put another comment in here later and said, hey, ignore my first comment. It was so generic. First, I have to say the show is very entertaining, as always. You all give some great tips to us D&D ignorant ones, and in parentheses she said, meaning me. Thanks for the comments once again about the Obsidian chat. I did, however, post the list as scheduled before episode 12 was released. Oh, well. Yeah, as you remember, I said, we have an exclusive, which she's saying that she actually posted the name before. I guess we got that out on Friday night, but oh, well. It was exclusive to us when we were making the show.
True, it was.
And then she says, it was great to have it in the audio, though. And most of all, those southern accents are just so too cute. Waiting for the next episode. Y'all are better than milk and cookies.
She kills me.
That was kind of cool.
And Dnippers was one of our regulars, sent us some feedback.
One of our regulars?
Regulars had some info on that mysterious black box on the options that you got from patch 104. He said the black box with no selection in the options is a common bug. They know about it. They said this, I'm assuming they, meaning Obsidian, the ominous black box is for the drive camera mouse behavior. The options are 1, do nothing, 2, turn character, 3, move and turn character. He said, also not sure you tried this, but if you use the compact UI that add more hot buttons, etc. Yeah, he recommends Charlie's UI. It's great at 1200 by 1000 resolution and makes the extra hotbars look cool. You can drag and drop voice commands as well, which I've just patched 104, brought back a bunch of those. He says, "Woot, hot button party control." And this option really is really useful if you have the increased hotbar from the vault. Again, Charlie's gives you the main bar with over 20 buttons and the two sidebars with 104 adds. Or with the, the 20 buttons and the two sidebars that patch 104 adds.
Huh.
So I haven't got that added to my client. I'm going to have to download that and look at it. Is it on the chat session you spoke of? I'd love to hear about a regular session where you do like you did for the new year, the game chat. Maybe now and again have a special guest, say a mod spotlight star, or later when they see what good y'all do, a dev, hey, a big smiley face, my dream, don't wit it, and he laughs out loud.
So what is he saying there? He's saying he'd like to see another episode like we did for episode 8 over Christmas, where we just recorded us talking with somebody for hours on end.
Well, I think what he's wanting is, or he's recommending, is something more like what Liso and Thieves Guild put together, but in audio format, like we did for our game day, where we had a server opened up and we could have someone come in audio format and people could just talk to them and you get audio response, and we could record that as part of the session of our show, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, actually, I had been thinking about something like that, but I guess I didn't read that in there. Oh, well.
Continues on saying he was pleased to hear Lurchman come back to describe Thieves Guild. He definitely strikes me as someone to call on for specials, etc. Awesome work, guys. The TeamSpeak is shown like third box, and this is in reference to his earlier feedback where we said we couldn't find it. And he says the TeamSpeak is shown like the third box down. Should be a welcome box, then the CAG Canyon shout box, and then the TeamSpeak box that shows the current server, etc. There should be a picture there that shows who's on what channel, etc. Hope this helps. And we'll go back and check that out again. I don't know that we're going to keep the TeamSpeak server up all the time right now or have it open to the public, but we may have for special events.
Yeah, we might set up a different one at some point that's just for the, you know, it might be a good idea if we maybe set one up just for the podcast. And I don't know, you think there's any way we could set it up to where it, say it only records when somebody gets on there and starts talking?
That I don't know. We just have to look into it. It might be possible.
That'd be kind of cool, though.
Then he finishes up saying, again, awesome job as usual. Keep it up. And then he says, good morning, Neverwinter Nights. Because remember earlier, he was telling us it was like the Good Morning Vietnam of gaming podcast. So.
Of Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for you guys' feedback. We love getting corrections and more information, especially the nippers on this, what those options are in the...
Oh, yeah, I think this is cool because a lot of people will come in and comment and give tips as well. So
yeah, it's really helpful.
Really good. So keep them coming.
Hey, mod development teams. How would you like to have your mod placed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast, the first and only podcast dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series? All you have to do is go to the website located at neverwinternightspodcast.com, that's neverwinternightspodcast.com, and follow the instructions on the Submit a Mod Light page. Hey, you're going to go create all those really cool trailers anyway, aren't you? Why not put it on the Neverwinter Nights podcast too? It's quick, it's easy, it's fun. You get to produce the audio spot that will appear in the show. You are in control of the content. It's your voice and your words. Why wait? Act now. You could tell the world about your mod. Just follow the instructions, keep time under 2.5 minutes, no coupon required, no purchase required, offer valid anywhere on the planet Earth, see back the box for details. The thoughts and opinions contained in the Mod Spotlight are not the thoughts and opinions of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, what for prohibited.
What's going on with patch 105?
Oh, I found some news that patch 105 has already been decided. And this might be a little bit of old news since it was put out on February 3rd. But, actually, Rob McGinnis, I guess, was quoted as saying that patch version 1.05 has already decided, and I guess there was a post over in the forum, Neverwinter Nights 2 forums, that focuses on bringing in suggestions for patch 105. And now what Rob McGinnis did was he didn't let folks actually come to word. he interfered somewhat the whole discussion in adding his own words. And here's some of what he said. 105 is pretty much already decided. Jump to 107. 105 will try to cover some of the small, annoying things we have heard you guys talk about. It will be a quick fix, hopefully out soon, to allow us to work on 1.06. 1.06 may take a little longer, as it is meant to address some larger issues. And then he says, I don't have a list of the fixes yet, but when I do, I'll get them posted.
Yeah, I'm hoping 105, excuse me, I'm hoping that if 105 comes quickly, it will fix some of those things. It's like the, you know, the missing text on the camera mode boxes. And if 106 is going to be larger, I pray that it's going to be a lot of fixes for Persistent World and multiplayer.
There was an interesting thread out on the Neverwinter Nights 2 forums about why did you buy Neverwinter Nights 2? Because of the original campaign or for multiplayer? And Rob McGinnis, actually, he did a summary. I guess he went through the whole thread and counted up who voted for OC and who voted for multiplayer. And I thought that was kind of some interesting statistics. I guess out of the total people who wrote in and gave their opinions,
this is a small sample size, in other
words. Right. So he tallied up, I guess he went through the thread and figured out who voted for, you know, the original campaign single player or for multiplayer. And the votes were 67 players for the original campaign, 40 voted for single player mods, for a total of 107 for single player. And then for multiplayer, there was 43 for Persistent World players. There was 25 for a total of 68 multiplayers. So that works out to multiplayer being about 33% of the total. Oh, and then there was another, there was like a third set of people who voted on why they bought NWN2. It was because of the tool set. And so the tool set was, there was like 32 of those. So the tool set was 15% and single player was 52%. He says in this very unscientific poll.
Yeah, it is.
And he said if you get a different total, let him know. But I thought that was some interesting feedback on why people bought the game.
Yeah, I would actually have expected the multiplayer to be higher.
That's kind of what I thought too. And I wonder if that's the point he was trying to make. Because we've always heard people like this game because of the multiplaying and the role-playing that you can get into. I would think maybe eventually that those numbers would turn over the other way, like they did with Neverwinter Nights 1 eventually. What do you think?
Well, I agree. In Neverwinter Nights 1, there's still a lot of single-player mods, but there's a lot of Persistent World mods, too. I'm basing that mostly on my own experience as I play more Persistent Worlds, and I'm more excited about the Persistent World modules because it's online with my friends and we get to work together. So it's co-op play. But there's a lot of times when I'm in a situation where I can't log on, like if I'm traveling or you guys aren't on, so a single player mod would be good to work there too. But I think Neverwinter Nights 2 is trying to gear itself more toward Persistent World and multiplayer stuff, so I will expect that number to rise too. Sorry, what distracted me was that down later in that post it says patch 106 is in March.
Yep. Before we get to that, though,
okay.
I thought there was another interesting post out in the forums. There's been some questions about whether it's legal to modify NWN2's original campaign and post those changes on the Vault. And once again, Rob McGinnis from Obsidian responds and says he's not a lawyer, so what I'm going to say should not be taken as legal advice or any modification or change to the EULA that comes with Neverwinter Nights 2. Having said that, as long as no form of income or proceeds is generated for anyone from modifying the OC, he believes that there should be no legal ramifications. So,
well,
I have come across, not this thread, but I came across a couple of modules in the vault for Nevernights 1, which were the original, the OC, that had been modified to take out the cutscenes so that it could be played better for multiplayer.
Huh.
And they had been removed from the vault because BioWare had stated that that was an infringement of the EULA, the End User License Agreement.
Really? Huh.
Because that was the premium module that they sold, and they own copyright to that one.
Interesting.
So I don't, I would be very careful about that, because it could come back on you, because that is their, you know, intellectual property, what they're selling, and they have the rights to sell that one, and if you take it and change it and stick it back out there, then you basically have changed their property. Now, the tool set and the license that comes with the tool set and with the game says you can take the tool set and make your own mods. I don't think it addresses anything about modifying any of the original campaigns that Obsidian puts out. Now, if Rob McGinnis is going out on a limb saying that he thinks it's okay for that, I would really err on the side of caution on that.
Interesting.
It'd probably be better to go build that module over with your own stuff than to take theirs and modify it.
Yep, just to be safe.
Yep.
So, 106 is going to be out in March. That's what we're hearing.
That's what it looks like down there on the lower patch there. We'll keep our eyes on that and see if we can find that exact date on it.
Right there, Rob says, on January 29th, he said the target release for 106 is March. So. No idea on the auto-downloader.
Yeah, there's an auto-downloader. Is he talking about the one for the Persistent Worlds to get the PWC files down?
I believe that's what it is, yes.
Yeah, they're working on one, but I haven't seen a release date on that either. So. And then there's also an Audulis. I may be saying that wrong. It's a community-created one that allows you to download. It downloads the PWC files to keep them in sync.
And then some Persistent World makers are creating downloaders that once you've downloaded the first file, then how does that work? Then the next time you want to download updates, it just updates what's changed? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I was trying to help Solace over at Sundren Project, and they're called byte patchers or byte patches. And what they do is that you say, if I'll just use a single two-file situation to make it more simple, but it can be applied to multiple files. So you have version 1 of the PWC and version 2 of a PWC. You can run this against it, and what it'll do is it will just create a patch file that can change the bytes that are different from version 1 to version 2. And then once you download it and run this installer, it actually goes and takes that file that you have, that's version 1, and modifies it by only adding the bytes or modifying the bytes that were changed and making it version 2. The basic gist of all that is the file you have to download to keep it updated is extremely small. It's just the differences. It's not the whole file. So if you had a 200 meg file and only 4 bytes changed, all you downloaded was 4 bytes. You didn't download the 200 meg file again.
Interesting.
Yeah, and he's got that working. The solution I was working on didn't work out, but he did find one that did work, and that kind of brings me into a little bit of news. We'll just segue right into that. They being the Sundren Project, Solace posted over on their site that they are going to have an open beta on February 10th, 2007. So if you are wanting to get involved with that, you can check out their website and look in their forums. They've got an announcement there talking about since the patch of 104 final release came out, they're scheduling an open beta to the public of their Persistent World on February 10th. Doesn't have a time, so just, I guess, show up and join. Download their PWC file and get in there and help them test that world. I plan on being there. I think it'll be fun.
Oh, I will add a disclaimer for that. You probably, if you are interested in doing that, you probably should register on their website and post a hello in their forums and let them know who you are. I would not recommend just jumping on there on Saturday.
True.
Saturday without them letting you know who you are.
They've also been using members on their site
people that have signed up getting emails to tell more information about
right.
their betas and when they're going to be and how to get involved with them.
I thought I'd say that because
That's good.
We didn't even ask him if we could mention that.
So. I did.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you the man.
Talked to him this afternoon.
You the man. We got a email from Reincarnate, and he said, "Hello, I'm a PHP and MySQL and obviously NWN2 enthusiast, and he just wanted to let us know that he launched a web database for people to share, search, and display character builds. And so I thought you might be interested in linking to it, and that is NWN2database, all one word, .com. And actually, we did. We went ahead and put him in our links on our community.
That's a really cool site. I went over there and started checking it out, and it's a database of character builds. So people have uploaded or input character builds that tell them how they built this humongous tank and at what levels they chose what feats, and if they multiclassed, at what levels they multiclassed. And I'm sure from someone that comes from a D&D pen and paper background, which I don't, the way the format of it is very intuitive, and I wasn't real clear myself on what it is, so I started an email conversation back and forth with him and getting a better understanding of that site, and actually I'm in the process of getting an interview with him because I felt that, you know, we've had some feedback about two episodes ago saying that character build would be a good topic for a podcast. So mm-hmm. I thought, well, hey, this guy's site's all about character builds. Let's get him on here. So I'm trying to work that out with him right now.
Cool. Sounds interesting. I also came in across another new site this past week. It's actually a fan listing site for NWN2. It's called, or the URL for it is nwn2.immortalize.net. IMMORTALISED, for those who don't know how to spell immortalized. And we're on the list.
Well, how do we get there?
It's a really new website, too. And, well, you just go on there and you join. And they have a stipulation, though. You have to add a link on your website to them. Once you do that, they approve you and put you in the list. So I just came across that site and thought I'd mention it. Also, another cool thing that happened, I guess last night after we finished up our little interview with Liesl66 about this chat, I flipped over to the chat room that was used for the chat.
Yes.
And I was just kind of wanting to see what was still going on, what people were kind of saying after the chat. And I got a personal message, or a PM, I guess, chat from a person called Kvan. Kvan. K-H-A-V-E-E-N. And he actually runs a website called ShadowThieves.net. It's all one word. And they have a persistent world that they're working on at the moment called Gallows Bird Persistent World. And he PM'd me and said, hey guys, I like your podcast, and I'm thinking about putting together a mod spotlight for you. And I wrote back and said, hey, thanks for the support. We'd love to have some more mod spotlights to play, so hopefully he'll get that to us soon. And he also said he would love to lead a DM game for us. I think they actually have some of their Persistent World up already. And so I told him I would tell you about it, Jay, and he said hi, by the way.
That's nice. Well, I'm sorry I wasn't there.
And so I think we should take him up on that. He wants to put together a DM session for us.
Well, yeah, that sounds great. I'm kind of gotten really excited about that as I was reading through the chat log you've got here and was thinking about what he's offered. to set up a DM game for us. And I also was remembering in episode 12 when you said we should have a contest. Maybe we should try to work with them to set up a DM session with you and I and a set number of people that we can give away those slots as prizes from the show.
Slots in the game?
For the DM session. So we're going to set up a DM session on a certain date, a certain time, and there'll be us and however many people they say we need to be in a party, and we could say...
And we have a drawing or something?
And we have a drawing for people to get those other slots to go in that party with us. Well, of course, we'll have to hammer that with them and see if that's acceptable to them, but if it is...
Yeah.
Then listeners, if you think that's a good idea and you'd be interested in doing that, give us some feedback, so we'll pursue.
And this guy didn't really tell me what his real name was, but he if you notice there before his name, it says REP. Oh, he's an NWN2 community representative.
Well, here's what it says. Here's the explanation he says in the chat log here. It says, if you want to know more about the NWN2CR program, check out the link, and he gave you a link. It says, we're often posting poll-type questions in the forums to get feedback from the community on what they want, and we reps have a direct voice to the devs on what goes in patches. Maybe you can encourage your listeners to send us reps a PM in the official forums when they have issues.
Okay, so this is me pulling y'all's legs. Go do it.
So if you see Kaven or anybody else that's got that rep in front of them, you can PM them if you're having an issue with the game, and they can take it to the devs.
Yeah, it looks like they introduced this concept or program, whatever you want to call it, about January 10th, not too long ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait, that's all, I've been almost a month ago. Sorry. My time runs together in the winter. It looks like Rob McGinnis started the thread that he mentioned in when he was chatting to me. So.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, that is interesting. I really do like the way that Obsidian or OEI, they actually listen to you. I mean, they didn't just put a game out and then go move on to something else, you know? They actually take the time to, I think they take the time to listen to you. I know there's a lot of negative stuff out there on the forums about, you know,
yeah,
stuff that people don't like, but, you know, I think they do a pretty good job.
They've been, I will say this, I know that there have been some people that have some issues with them, and I don't necessarily have issues with them. My issues with are certain features of the game, them being Obsidian.
Right.
My issues are probably more with Atari being the publisher telling Obsidian to, you know, put Secure ROM in there or hook it all into DirectX or, you know, some things like that. And then the other things I see people are basically just, you know, features in the game that they think are missing that should be there. But our personal experience, anytime we've sent an email to Ryan or somebody at Obsidian, we've gotten a fairly good response fairly quickly. And there have been some times that they've sidestepped saying, you know, well, the publisher says we can't reply on that. And you got to understand that kind of stuff happens. It's, you know, they've got to protect their their ability
to wow
everybody as well. They're out for the mighty dollar.
Yeah.
But on the whole, I'd agree. If we send an email to Ryan or Annie or anybody that we know up there, they usually get right back to us. Even if they don't know the answer, they'll say, it may take me a while to find out. Let me check into it.
Or they'll point you to who knows.
Yeah. So,
you know,
I have to agree.
If they know who knows. Yeah, so, which I think that's cool. So, anyway, I just kind of wanted to mention that because I think doing a program like this that Kayvon mentioned is just part of all that. And I think it's cool. Okay, so did you have fun with the participating in the chat that happened on the 5th the other night?
Yes, I thought it was. I didn't get to get in at the beginning and stay for the whole thing. I got there right at the very end of it, but yeah, I thought it was really neat. And just to be able to have access to ask questions to that many Obsidian people at one time and get answers for them was just really cool.
They did have a little bit of a setback at the very beginning, which you'll get to hear about in detail when we play the interview that we did with Liso 66 after in tonight's episode. But when I got on, they were switching over to a new server. That's all I'll tell you, and then you can listen later. But anyway, I've got...
Teaser.
I've got the chat log up in front of me, and I thought maybe we'd pick one or two, because we're kind of running out of time here, because we're going to have a really long show this episode, because we also have an interview that's going to be in here, too. Won't take too much time, but I just want to pick out a few in here. And one of the ones I wanted to pick out was, there was a question, what can you tell us right now about the rumored auto-updater that's supposed to make PWC distribution easier? And the answer given by Rich Taylor was, I wish I could go into more detail about an auto-updater, but I can't at this time. It is something we intend to address in a future patch, but not in the 105 patch that's coming up next. He says for 105, the server detail pages will not contain URL information for the module's homepage and a URL for where the PWC file can be downloaded. So clicking on links will open the user's web browser to those addresses. This will be a temporary step. A more robust solution is intended for a future patch. So,
well, one of them that I thought was really interesting, and I didn't get to see it initially, but I sent in a question when I got there, and it had been asked earlier, so I went back and looked at the chat logs to find it. Was, you know, one of my pet peeves is dedicated servers for Linux. So there was a person that submitted a question, says, why exactly is there going to be difficulty to write a dedicated Linux server? And the response from Ryan was, DirectX is involved. It is interwoven all over the place in the server. And then he replied to this, because basically, he goes, you can run it on Linux in an emulator, but most commercial hosts don't play nice with that. And what he may be alluding to there, and I didn't get to ask a follow-up question to this, was that under Linux, there is an application called Wine, which is a Windows...
emulator.
It's a Windows emulator. And it basically, what that group has done is they've rewritten the Windows API calls to map to Linux API calls. And if that's what you're referring to, that might actually work in some situations. But I will follow up to say that some of the kind of discussions we've had with him, I have seen some posts where Ryan and others have been discussing this in dedicated Linux server, and that it is a big thing that they are discussing. And they are also got that on the radar. There's something to look at, too. And I have to apologize for getting choppy in my voice there, because I just noticed some of the chat log actually talks about the podcast.
You're getting all choked up?
I was all choked up, because above this, it says, NWN Podcast would like to know what Annie's been up to since our interview.
That was my question, dude.
Yeah, was it? I just noticed that.
Yeah, I was getting to get that one next, but you beat me to it.
Well, let's talk about it, because that's cool.
What did she say?
Well, you read that part, or did you not find it?
I don't see it.
It says, Annie replies, hey, I thought I saw you guys when you logged on. Grin, been working on exciting Obsidian projects, enjoying the podcast, and recovering from a very persistent post-holiday cold of doomy doom doom. So, evidently, see, she's been listening to us. So
that's interesting, because when I read that answer, when I was sitting there in the chat, you know, live, and I read it, I was thinking, okay, does she mean she's been playing Doom 3?
Yeah.
And didn't want to actually say that, you know, because this was a chat about Nevermore Nights.
It could be. Who knows?
Yeah, she is an ultra geek.
She is an ultra geek. So, yeah. Which, you know, we do have I have confirmed with Ryan and Annie that we do have an interview set up with her. I just got to get the questions and set up a time. So I did get to talk to her in a private message at the end of the chat. And
really?
Telling her that I've got a Falchion on one of the persistent worlds I was playing, and she asked me if it was a generic Falchion or if it was one of the special ones. And I told her, well, it was just a generic Falchion. She's like, well, in Act 1, and I'm not going to tell you guys, because it gave privileged
information. Oh, she gave you some insider information?
Where there might be possibly a special Falchion to be found in Act 1 of the original campaign.
Well, I found a Falchion, but I'm a warlock and I can't use it.
So I'm going to check that out.
What I did with it?
You sold it.
No.
You gave it to your dwarf.
Annie made the Falchion just for me.
Oh.
So I gave it to my dwarf.
So you gave it away.
No, she didn't really make it just for me.
No.
One of my fantasies, sorry.
All righty then. And what your role is at Thieves Guild?
Well, I am the chat hostess. I am public relations. I deal with sending out emails to other companies, getting assistance, or getting put our links on to their pages, getting chat people like Obsidian, and I'm also a moderator.
So how did the chat go tonight, do you think?
The chat was crazy. I mean, seriously, crazy. We first, it started in our chat room, and everybody from Obsidian got kicked and banned out.
Why did they get kicked and banned?
Because they were all on one IP, and QuakeNet determined that it was a no-no and banned them all.
Oh, no.
So they went over to their chat site on Never One Night server, and we all went over there. And we got everything cleared up, and Rob McGinnis actually gave me an incorrect email, so everything kept bouncing back at me.
My goodness.
And luckily, I hit the save button on my email. I save everything I send out so that I can, you know, make reference to it. And we started putting everything on Notepad, and my husband actually assisted on formatting all the questions and making pages for me to copy and paste in the second chat room with the dev team and us, so that we go much smoother, considering we had such a backlash from, you know, Obsidian getting banned from our chat room. That was a real winner.
Oh, man.
It's a stellar moment.
So was that how y'all had planned to do it, or was that kind of a backup after the ban happened?
That was just completely off the cuff. They went over into their own chat room, messaged me and Ken, and we all switched over into their chat room. Everybody from our chat room finally got over there, and the whole orchestration was, oh my gosh, they decided that all the questions needed to be PM'd to me.
Yep.
And I did all the copy paste and everything. My board up top looked like a Christmas light. It was horrible. And the little links kept getting smaller and smaller as the names kept building up, and it got to the point where I barely had a space to click. But I did, and I'd like to say this, I managed to get every single question out. Not all of them got answered, but Rob McGinnis agreed to have me email him the remainder of the questions, and he would post them.
Very cool.
Cool.
So
yes, it was.
How did you go about setting up a chat like this with Obsidian?
Well, when I became a chat hostess and we were using, you know, different topics like character creation, crafting, etc., I said, you know, we really need to heat this chat room up, and I need to find something, a really good angle. And I thought, hey, you know, I'm going to email Obsidian. And I thought this to myself, and I didn't tell anybody. And so I spent quite a while writing the email, and I schmoozed really well.
Imagine. I can't imagine you doing that.
Oh. Anyway. Yeah, I can sweet talk pretty good. I sent the email in, and I didn't say anything to anybody because I wanted to wait till I actually maybe got something back, you know, because I felt it was like a real big long shot.
Right.
And because I don't know anything about the politics of how these companies work and, you know, if they're willing to come visit you or what have you. So when I got the email back, I typed in our private moderator forums, I got Obsidian, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. You know, something along that lines. And everybody's like, you did what? Oh, I started corresponding with Ryan Rosinski, which I say that better than you do.
Of course you do.
And
oh, man.
Ouch.
We had two emails, and then all of a sudden, one night, my phone rings, and it was like almost 10:30 at night, and they're on a four-hour time difference. And I answered my phone. I had insomnia for like 4 days straight, and I answered the phone, and you're like, hello, in a mood. And He says, "Hi, may I speak to Michelle Sandusky?" And I said, "Sure, this is her." And he says, "Hi, this is Ryan Rosinski from Obsidian." And I'm like, "Oh my God." I swear, I thought my heart has just dropped to my feet. And I was like, "Oh, this is bull. You know, I don't believe this." I put my phone number on the email out of courtesy, mm-hmm. you know, just, "Hey, here's my contacts." I wanted to look professional, but yet, you know, good schmoozing. And he called me, and we talked actually for probably about 45 minutes, just joking. He's got a great personality. He is so funny and incredibly laid back. But we talked for almost 45 minutes on the phone. We organized a time and a day, and they chose the 7 p.m. chat because they are four-hour difference. You know, if we went for the midday chat, they probably wouldn't even been getting their coffee yet. So, and then we had several conversations after that on the phone and via through email and got it all set up. And he actually, Ryan almost gave me a heart attack. He sent an email on a CC where he had actually sent it to Ferragus, one of the head founders of the Obsidian, and said, "Okay, it's a go. It's on the 12th or something like that." I'm like, "Wait a minute. We agreed to the 5th, and now you're telling me the 12th. And I already had everything posted. Right. And I emailed Ryan back. I said, "Ryan, do we have a miscommunication problem?" I said, "Because I have a whole lot of editing to do if we do." And he writes me back. He goes, "Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm done. It's the 5th.
So about how long did it take you to, since you first contacted him or sent that first email to tonight when the chat happened, about how long did that take?
It was about 3 weeks, I would say. It took about a week for them to get back to me. And then I got an email from Ryan saying that he was going to be handling it, and everything was being CC'd throughout, you know, several different people in the Obsidian itself. And I also had to email everything to Ken. you know, so he wouldn't get paranoid and panic and think I'm doing devious things behind his back, maybe. I don't know. But I'm just kidding, Ken, really. And he said that... you know, we'll do it. You know, he had already given me the phone call and everything, and by the time we got it all confirmed, I posted it on our private forums. And then we got the word out as soon as possible. And then Ken actually emailed, like, everybody yesterday or the day before on our forums list.
I got the reminder email that was going on, which was a very nice touch.
Yeah, I got that, too.
Yes, it was. I just found it funny that I got an email inviting me to a chat session. Like I had a choice.
So, when you got everything going, did the banning happen just instantly today? Or how far did you get before it took off?
They actually started coming in almost an hour early. And matter of fact, Rob McGinnis and Ryan were the first ones in. And they were there for a little while, and then everybody else started pouring in. And then at 7 o'clock, I said, "Okay, do you want me to start doing some of these questions?" And that's when all of a sudden I went to copy and paste, and they were gone. I mean, it was like 2 minutes into the actual scheduled chat, and they were just poof. I was like, "Oh, my gosh, what the heck just happened?" I thought, "Oh, my God, I'm just going to cry. I'm going to throw my computer out the window, and I'm going to cry." But fortunately, they do have their own chat room. And they all went over there and made sure that we all got over there, so it all panned out very nicely.
Yeah, I noticed that I couldn't get through it with my regular IRC client because it had changed servers. And so I went back to the website and clicked on the link there, and somebody had already updated the link there. So that happened pretty fast, too.
Yeah, Ken did. Ken did it right away.
Yeah, that happened to me. I couldn't get in, or I didn't know what to do. I got on, and I saw everybody saying, "Hey, we need to switch over to some other server," and they were listing the name of it, and I didn't know how to get to it. So I just went to the main website and clicked on the link. Yeah, and
that was impressive that got changed as quickly, too, because I was asking people on the regular channel what server and what channel they went to, and no one could tell me. I just went to the site and clicked on it, and there I was.
Well, we actually had one chatter in there, Slider. I don't know what his real name is, of course. He is the one who assisted on showing us how to type it in and immediately switch over to servers and then into the chat room. He was quite helpful.
Yeah, I did notice it was an IRC over on the connections website.
Yeah.
Right. And we didn't have any problems there, thank goodness. Nobody got banned and nobody had to get kicked out, I don't think. But you know what? Truly, don't ask me what went on in the chat room because I was never in it, except for the beginning and the end.
I saved off the chat. So
well, I think there were several people doing that.
Yeah,
think,
actually, they're
it.
The, what was he? Coordinator or something. He's sending off. He asked who wanted logs of it, and I'm like me. And I said pretty please. And I handed my email out, and hopefully I got it.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
know.
I have 121 emails that I have. Yeah, I've got 29 left to go through. And I also want to say thank you very much to everybody who told me I did a good job and thanking me and all that wonderful stuff. It did make me blush a little bit, and it did not go to my head because I'm going to be back in the chat room Wednesday.
Well, I think for the part that I got involved with it, watching it going on, it went pretty well. Now, I was watching some of the communications over on the Regular Thieves Guild channel, and there seemed to be some mixed emotions about they thought several people were sidestepping questions and not really answering them, or that the answers they were getting were what was in the forums already, you know, we've already seen kind of stuff. What kind of feel did you have for that, or how did you...
I got the same feedback, actually. I actually had a couple people PM me and say, hey, ask them to stop sidestepping their questions. Well, in my opinion, truly, they can only answer what they can answer.
Exactly.
And everybody has to understand that, you know, they can't give away their secrets. They can't tell you something that is not confirmed or just in progress of. And I think they did a really good job, and they tried their best to answer everybody's questions. I had a few people say, yeah, I got my questions answered. It was great. And a few other people were complaining, saying that it was like a political race and nobody was really answering anything straight. So can't make everybody happy, I suppose.
I got to say hello to Annie.
Yes, so did I. Matter of fact, one of the questions was hers.
Well, I have to admit, I was beaming her for the last part of the conversation. We were talking about falchions. Yep.
Oh, you were?
I was actually quite pleased that she participated and entered a question, and it was pretty cool. And well, everybody did, I think. I don't think anybody... But I really did. We tried to make sure that no multiple, you know, same questions went out. I told you I did it like an assembly line with my husband, and he checked through and made sure questions weren't repeated. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to screen them to make sure there were none that were inappropriate. But
yeah,
I don't think any went out inappropriately.
Well, overall, how do you feel that it went, other than the Murphy's Law, something major happened on a big event like this?
Other than the glitches and everything else, I was incredibly pleased. I wish I actually got to chat a little bit, but unfortunately, I was the copy and paste queen. And that's all I did. I started the chat, I kicked it off, and then after that, I got to end the chat. And that's about all I saw of it. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to read through the logs to know exactly what happened.
So did Ryan think it went pretty good? After you talked to him on the
phone? Yeah, actually, he said it did really well, considering, you know, the first part of it was really, you know, they got banned. Come on. Hey, Obsidian got banned from the Thieves Guild chat room.
The one
that's
go through and unban them.
Oh, I don't know how they're going to do that. It's all because of the whole one IP, though, so... I don't know how that works. I'm not real technical about our MIRC, and it's been 6 years since I used it till recently, so I'm a complete noob again.
With the success of this behind you, do you think that you'll be planning something this large again soon?
Well, I have two emails out of great interest. I know one of them seriously will be, and if they ever email me back, I'm hoping, and I really don't want to say, well... I don't know if I want to say or not, because I don't know, jinx thing.
Oh, I agree with that. So we'll have to keep our eyes on Thieves Guild and what's going on. This was one of the Rogues Roost chats, right?
Correct.
So we'll have to keep our eyes on what's going on over there. Maybe you shoot us a contact whenever you guys have something going on so we can be sure and promote it for you.
I had a lot of fun, guys. Thanks. This is a lot cooler than I thought it was going to be.
Thanks a lot.
So what do we got new going on the site?
Oh, I added a player to the Mod Spotlight page so that if anybody comes to that page, they can actually listen to an example. I want to do that. I did that for you guys.
Cool. That way it helps them kind of get a feel for what we're looking for.
Yeah, yeah. Also, someone said, I can't remember who said it. It might have been Dave from California. No. Who was it? It was somebody said that the reason why we might be having so many anonymous over on the Frapper map.
You almost said Frapper Crapper map.
How did you know I almost said that? Because that is like, okay, that's like really weird. Whew, that's scary. We gotta stop this right now.
Okay. Stopping now.
Golly. Whew. I think chills went down my back. Anyway, and so I was going to try to test that out, and actually I never got to it. So
you'll have to follow up on that in the next episode.
Yeah, maybe when I switch over there here in a second and see if there's any new ones.
Well, I wanted to bring up something that's not necessarily site-related news, but it is podcast news, that Trey and I have purchased some new audio equipment that's on its way. And hopefully in the next week or next two episodes, you'll hear us getting that stuff set up and lined out. And I don't know, Trey, we may need to put a donate button up to help us fund some of this stuff because it's coming out of our pocket right now. But
we might have to do that.
So, but we got some phones and some new equipment come along that should help with our audio quality and allow us to do more remote type.
Oh, hey, you know what would be even better than a donate button? Would be somebody like, you know, Obsidian or some company that makes games hiring us full time.
Oh, now you're...
So we can quit our jobs.
Now
that
you're talking
cool.
My dream. I'm not going to hold my breath, but...
Oh, that sorry. Would be awesome. Sorry, I was dreaming there a little bit.
I would just be kind of happy if, you know, if a game conference came up and they would let us cover...
Oh, that's an idea.
Or nights at a game conference.
Yeah, we talked about that at lunch.
Sponsor us to go there. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be. So let's go flip over to the Frapper Crapper.
Okay.
We have too much fun with that. Frapper coming up. We come to frap you up.
Okay.
I've been waiting all week to do that.
Halloween Foxy is from Rostock, Melkenberg, West Pomerania, Germany.
Okay, that was not there last week. I promise.
Now she can make fun of me not pronouncing it correctly.
We also got a pin from Zenok, who is in Winnetka, California, USA. He's actually the dude that joined us briefly, I guess, on game day and has posted some questions in our forum. Did we mention TDR from Varna, Illinois? I don't think we did. Oh, here's a new anonymous. Anonymous from Rostock. Okay, I don't even know what country this is. It says Rostock, MV, DEU. Here, I guess I could click on it and see if it goes to it. Oh, Denmark. Sorry.
Denmark.
No, it says Denmark.
It says Denmark? I didn't know there was a
Dan
Denmark.
It, it does. No, it does say, look real close, it says Denmark.
I'm trying to find it.
Although it does look like Denmark.
Hey, there's one guy from anonymous from Tulsa.
Yep, it's from Tulsa, Oklahoma, USA. Ooh, here's another anonymous from Budapest, Hungary.
It does say Denmark.
Yeah. Another anonymous from Troy, New York. Another anonymous from Herndon, Virginia, USA. Another anonymous from Mechelen, Van, Belgium.
I have a hard
time.
Oh,
man, there's a lot on here now.
There's a bunch on there now. Yeah, that's what I was noticing.
Thank you, everyone. This is cool. Okay, that's it. Thanks, everyone. The maps are really filling up, but keep them coming. We want to see that fill up really good out there.
Now, if you haven't, and you're having an issue with adding yourself, you can go back to the map and click your pin, and it'll pop up a form for you to fill in the rest of the information.
And it added me. Add me. There. Not sure what the problem is that they're talking about it with the email and the anonymous. I guess if it's anything, you enter where you're at first, and then you got to click the add me, and then you put in all your name and your shout out that you want to say, a picture if you want. So maybe that's what they're saying. Maybe they're not clicking that, and they're just putting in this. They're not going on to that second step is probably what they're not doing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's definitely changed since we started using it.
Oh, but I thought that was pretty easy. Astrakhan is now on there, is now pinned.
It's about time.
Here I've been getting on everybody to pin themselves, and I haven't even done it myself. I guess that's what's called eating your own dog food. Thanks for listening, and if you have any questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternicepodcast.com, or you can post them on our forum from our main website.
Also, while you're on the site, you can add your shout-out to our Frapper map by clicking the Frapper logo on the right-hand side over there. If you are a member of a mod team and would like to have your Neverwinter Nights module on the Mod Spotlight, check out the Submit a Mod Spotlight page on our website, which has a new feature of a pre-recorded spotlight so you can get an idea of what it is.
So until next week, get in game.
And level up, level up, level up, level up. Strangers in the night.
What do you mean by activate? If the module requires the hack, then it won't load without that hack in the hack folder. So what are you trying to activate?
No, I didn't.
Of course it was Jalugled. Jfangled.
Excuse me.
There's no excuse for you.
There was for that big belt.
Oh, dude. The other day, it's been, I think it's 2 days ago, you know the little listener count that's right there by Feedburner? Mm-hmm. It said 16.
Really?
That's the highest I've seen it. 16.
So, Trey, you're funny.
What?
On the post I found, I wanted to make sure I had it up to get the right date for Sundren's open beta, and I see the news he put out there. And then Godby says, I don't think you mentioned this, but it is an open beta, and a question mark. And then you said, so this is an open beta?
I was being facetious.
Funny. So then I did the host part. So you host, and I'll do the intro.
Erkadaki. Your little squirrel is faster than mine anyway. So thanks for listening, and if you have any questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com or don't send us an audio because it doesn't work.
Start that over, we won't say that. Or you could add or post it to the forums.
That's a wrap.